At the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, they continue to test the students, faculty, and staff, and it continues to be, if I'm not mistaken, one of the safest places in America to be. Paul Hergenrother is the professor of chemistry in Champaign who oversees that program. He visited with us earlier in the year, that is, earlier in the pandemic last year, and he joins us again to just catch us up, see what we can learn in the maybe Chicago public schools. Hi, Paul. Welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Have you contracted COVID-19?
I have not.
Does the University of Illinois continue to test the way they did previously? Are you guys still on the same regimen, basically?
Yes, definitely. We are testing undergrads either 2 times a week or 3 times a week, and then faculty staff typically get tested, who are considered lower risk, get tested once a week. So, you know, we're doing, when the semester starts again, we'll be doing between 10 to 15,000 tests a day.
How many students? Is that the answer to the question? 10 to 15,000 students on campus? Is that what you expect?
I think there's more than that. So, you know, students will get tested a couple times a week.
I see. But yeah, your campus has closer to 40,000 students, at least it did prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you are at full capacity, aren't you, or won't you be?
Yeah. We have a number of classes that are in person, and we've found that really having classes in person has been really great for us because, of course, we've seen no spread in the classroom, but it also compels compliance with our testing. Students need to show on their phone, their app, that says they've had a recent negative test before they can get into the building. And so by having that, then, you know, everyone has it as part of their routine here, kind of just to get tested a couple times a week.
Are they spitting into a little vial and then dropping it off in a box with a code on it, and then it gets gathered and tested and the results get sent to the student?
Yeah, I mean, there's no spitting, it's drooling. So there's about 20 saliva collection stations throughout campus where, you know, they check in with their ID card, a label is printed on the tube, you drool a small amount of saliva in the tube, and then, you know, the real key to this has been having an on-campus lab facility that processes those tests. So typically we return results in about 5 to 10 hours. So, you know, we found that frequent repeat testing with that kind of fast turnaround time and then isolation of positive cases dramatically lowers positivity. We were down below 0.1% positive in mid-October, kind of during the nice weather. It's bumped up a bit with the cold weather, but it's, you know, 7-day positivity right now is 0.36%.
You answered my next question. The positivity rate among the thousands of students in that campus is 0.36%.
Yep, that's right.
0.36%. And because cities are 100 times that. Some of them are 20%, 17%,
right.
18%. The state is closer to 10%. You're one-third of 1%. Are the students back on campus right now?
They're coming back, yeah. A lot of them are. We've kind of, because we require, you know, we have them get 2 negative tests 3 days apart before they can participate in activities. So we've kind of had them streaming back over the last couple weeks, including this week. So they'll continue to come back this week.
How is this protecting the students, though? That is, getting the test doesn't cure you of the virus. It's not a vaccine. It's not a medicine. How is it that the students aren't getting infected and spreading it?
Well, the idea is that, you know, this is a very sensitive test, a PCR-based test, so we detect positives. Ideally, we detect them before those people are infectious, and so then removing them and isolating them, and so students have to do their part as well, right? And yeah, because you're exactly right. If you're just testing, you're just keeping a scoreboard, right? But by identifying the positives, removing them from the population safely, then you prevent them from spreading it.
What percentage of the students that test positive are asymptomatic, would not have otherwise known?
It's 50%+. I mean, just like you hear with the rest of the population, and as you're pointing out, I think that's really the insidious part of this virus, and that's why things like temperature checks don't work. That's why just testing people that are symptomatic doesn't work to prevent the spread.
What do you do with the students that do get a positive result?
You know, we have a great partnership with our public health here, Champaign-Urbana Public Health, and they receive all the appropriate guidance. If they're in a dorm, they can move to an isolation, you know, a place where they can isolate safely. If they're in an apartment, they can do that as well. Students kind of Some choose to go back to their home, to their basement or something like that. But they're checked on daily by health professionals and well taken care of for that short period where they're in isolation.
Are the students wearing masks on campus, in common areas, in the classrooms?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Anyone indoors is wearing a mask.
The students are getting vaccinated. I wonder if that'll change that policy or the adherence to the policy.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I mean, I think that, we'll see. We're hopeful that, again, the vaccination is done through our public health, not through the university per se. I mean, but we're hopeful that by the end of the spring semester, the students will be vaccinated as well. And then as you say, we'll be in a little bit of a different realm at that point.
Paul Hergenrother is on a phone line, chemistry professor, University of Illinois, one of the people in charge of safeguarding the students down there. I remember hearing with great frustration the parents of students who went to Iowa and Iowa State and Notre Dame and pretty much anywhere state in the United States. And then there was this shining example, the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. So the question is then, well, if you guys can do it there, what message do you have to other cities and states and schools? And I haven't asked you what the cost is for all of this. Answer those questions for me next on WGN. Paul Hergenrother, he's one of the people involved in the COVID-19 testing down there. And lo and behold, if you test, trace, and isolate, you can eliminate the spread of the vaccine, so much so that while tens of thousands of students gather in that campus, in-person classrooms, the infection rate was 0.01%. Now it is 0.03%, 0.36. So, ha-ha, it tripled, Paul. But it's still remarkably low. Congratulations to all of you down there. But then what is the advice that you have for city schools, other states, Chicago public schools? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working really hard with all those places you mentioned to try to stand up testing. So Shield Illinois is an entity that has been stood up to help distribute the testing throughout the state. So Eastern Illinois University, Northern Illinois, North Central College, Millikan, Monmouth, Loyola University, a number of state schools, schools within Illinois are using our test through Shield Illinois. There's another entity called Shield T3, and that has launched a series of mobile labs. So it's basically our testing on an 18-wheeler, a truck. Mm-hmm. And so there's a truck in the Bay Area that's been announced that's serving the communities out there, schools and companies. There's a truck at UW-Madison, so it's doing all the testing for University of Wisconsin. So they're testing 10,000 a day on that large campus through this mobile truck. There's one in Maine testing the University of Maine system. So, and then, we've helped individual campuses kind of stand, if they want to stand up their own testing, we've really assisted them with that.
What's the trick? Is it the compliance? Is it still wearing masks? I mean, we're still talking about you now sharing your system of testing, but yep. I wonder what the trick is to keeping the infection rate down.
I think it's testing everybody and testing everybody frequently, right? Because as we discussed, people are going to get together, and especially on a college campus, there are going to be infections. That's just a reality.
Okay, but
that
I'm going to cut you off. So then let's do this for the Chicago Public Schools, Paul. So to say the CPS could have as rigorous a testing at its hundreds of schools, not one campus, but you're a big spread out area. But let's just say that CPS was able to institute testing of students and teachers two or three times a week, right? Then we would need to very quickly get the results to them. And then if they have a positive result, they need to isolate that child immediately, correct?
That's right.
And if they did that, do you think that it would be considerably safer? Could they go back with more confidence? Teachers are afraid to go back.
Yeah.
More, what is it, 67% of the parents won't even send their kids into the schools.
Right. Yeah, it's a tricky issue, and I sympathize with all those people, but I think the answer to your question is yes. I mean, I think in that setting, it's easier. In colleges, the students are all living together, right? And so there's a lot of potential for transmission, and it's really colleges have not been seeing it in the classroom. So, in a situation like you're mentioning with the public schools, Yeah, I think you could, once you do that and identify those positives and then safely isolate those students or faculty, mm-hmm. then you will kind of cut off the transmission, hopefully, or reduce it dramatically.
I wonder what the hard part of that is. I mean, is it a cost issue, do you think?
Yeah, there's a substantial cost. I mean, I think our university has put $20 million plus into this at this point.
Well, that's a lot of money, but CPS's budget is greater than that. I'll bet it's worth $20 million to CPS. Of course, they have more students than you do. We've got 300,000. You've got 40,000.
Right.
But
right.
I don't know. I mean, so well, what would be the key then to applying the U of I's success to CPS, would you say?
I think just getting it up and running and doing it. I mean, like you said, I think the one could launch this and have an aggressive campaign to test everybody, and especially people that are high risk or people that are in contact, right, which might be significantly less than that 300,000 number.
I wish they'd call you. 847 texted in to say, does your guest know the positivity rate of the community surrounding the U of I? That's a good question. Is it an especially safe area?
I think we are around 6% now. We've been hovering between 6 and 10%. They have actually excluded our testing when they calculate the positivity because it has such a dramatic influence on the rate, and we test so frequently. So we are in kind of a like everywhere in a sea of higher positivity, but it's lower than most places because so many in our community work at the university.
Interesting, though. So you could have an integrated population and still be safe. Professors come and go. The kids go to coffee shops, stuff like that. So you're not all just in a basement, and yet you're able to keep the infection rate down to 0.3% at the U of I.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, we're very sober about the challenge in front of us with this semester, with cold weather and people congregating indoors. We know, when all the students are fully onboarded, there'll be a rise in that rate. But the idea is with frequent repeated testing, we can hopefully drive it down again.
What should our listeners do? Is there anything we can do for you?
I mean, I think the message is everyone just has to keep doing their part for it's going to be a couple hard months still with the cold weather, but with the vaccinations now kind of slowly making their way into the population, there's certainly hope by the spring that we'll be back to something close to normal. But I think it's important for the next couple months to continue kind of distancing and masking.
When do you think fans will get a chance to go watch that real good basketball team of yours? If they were to ask you, when can we get to Assembly Hall, what would you say?
It'll probably be next year, to be honest with you. I've had season tickets for 20 years, and this is, the year they're looking very good, and it's disappointing not to watch them, but for now, we're stuck watching them on TV.
Nice to talk to you, Professor. Thanks, and congratulations. Keep up the good work down there.
Thanks. We appreciate your support.
Stay vigilant. Paul Hergenrother is a professor of chemistry at the University of Illinois.